Okay, we're here with Steve Pohl from Epic Games. How are you doing, Steve?
Pretty well.
Great. Just drug you away from your computer. Steve is taking it easy these days. He only works 10-hour days. So that's like a vacation around here. Asked you in here, Steve, to talk a little bit about the bot AI. I mean, a lot of people that have picked up Unreal Tournament and played the demo have noticed that the bots are a little more dastardly these days and a lot more useful now that you can program on your team and order them around. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've put in to enhance them?
Well, I guess over the last year, we spent a lot of time tweaking the bots and trying to make them feel less bot-like when you're playing deathmatch against them. And most of that is just lots of little subtle things. And then the other big effort has been to make them understand special moves and things like that, like doing the combo move with the shock rifle or using the translocator or impact jumping with the impact hammer and things like that. And then the biggest thing and probably the biggest chunk of time I spent on AI has been on the team play and making them understand the different modes of team play and accept orders and fluidly react to different situations. Basically make it a really enjoyable team play experience, whether you're playing by yourself or even with just a couple of friends and filling out the teams with bots. The nice thing about playing with the bots is that they're very loyal and they'll follow your orders. And so if you tell a couple of bots to defend your base, then they'll really be there defending your base. For a lot of times when you're playing with people, it tends to get pretty disorganized unless you really got a group of people that played a lot together.
So I was watching Jack in there when he was demonstrating assault mode, and he was doing what, of course, you would initially try to do is you take all your bots, you send them down, you get them all killed, then you kind of stroll through and just pick off the remainder. It'd be kind of neat one day if a bot would say no.
Yeah.
Nope, sorry.
We had that in for a while. We had some things like that. We had one thing for a while where if you shot a bot on your team enough times, he'd get pissed at you and start shooting back.
Oh, really?
But we took that out. The problem with that is things like that, it's not extremely obvious to a player what's happening, especially if they're not very... if they're kind of new to this kind of game.
Sure.
We didn't want to have anything in the game that was confusing to people.
Yeah, it can get a little complicated if you have about 16 people running around, you know, including some bots.
I spent a lot of time watching really new players play this kind of game, people who haven't played a lot of first-person shooters. And I kept having to make the low-level skill bots dumber and dumber to keep them from overwhelming really new players. It's remarkable how bad people are when they first start playing these games. And
tell me about it. You're looking at one. I've mastered the novice level, though, I should have you know. you do have the bots broken down with the intelligence levels very well. I mean, my son, I have a 9-year-old son, and he picks up, and of course I let him play Unreal Tournament, and I just say, a couple of words, don't worry about it. And he picked up and was able to play well against the novices, so he wasn't turned off by the game right away at all. So he's definitely into it. And it's funny, he plays on a P1666 with 32 megabyte RAM, and he still enjoys it, which is amazing. Of course, now Daddy will have to get him a new one. So tell us a little bit about some of the for the mappers out there. There's a lot of people who read Planet Unreal and are mappers, and the mapping community is obviously very important to Unreal and Unreal Tournament.
Absolutely.
How can they? You've added some or changed some things in the way you do noting.
Yeah, well, it's a lot like with Unreal 1, with a lot of enhancements. A lot of the enhancements are sort of under the covers in terms of the bots understanding, the paths being set up a little more intelligently once you've created the path nodes, the network being used a little bit better. There are some new types of navigation points that tell the bots how to do some of the new stuff that they can do. And actually the best place to go is there's a document that's linked on the Unreal site that has a detailed description of all these new things and how to set them up. Something else I'm working on that hopefully... no promises, but hopefully we'll make it in a patch, is an automatic path generator. That won't do 100% of your job, but it'll basically do a first pass layout of the level. I've had one in there for a long time, but it's really slow now and has a lot of problems, so I'm trying to clean that up, make it reasonably fast, and do a good first pass job. With the team games, it's really important to carefully path your level. With deathmatch, if a bot can't get from one end of the level to another, it doesn't really matter as long as you know they can roam around parts of the level. And so with a deathmatch game, even if you haven't done a great job pathing, you can make it reasonably fun with the bot. But with a team game, if the bot that's got the flag gets lost and can't get back to his base, then it sort of ruins the whole game.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
And so that's part of the reason why I decided it really made sense to do this automatic generator, is to try to help, especially people who are kind of new to it, to set it up. The advantage of having paths in the level, though, is it really allows the level designer a lot of control over exactly what the bots are going to do. You can tweak your paths not just to make them navigate throughout the level, but also to make them navigate it like a player would.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first playing with the translocator originally, I wasn't going to have any special paths required for them to use the translocator. But the problem was they didn't use it like a human does. They were translocating in ways into places that, even though it made sense when you looked at, oh, I see why he did that, is because he was trying to cut that corner. He really did save time as opposed to running around. But it was not something that most players would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important. And, I mean, also it's important not only that they act like players, but they also play in a manner that's fun to play against.
Mm-hmm. Not like Cliff over there, who's basically using the translocator like a grappling hook,
exactly.
And he's doing pirouettes around people.
Or translocating back and forth in front of and behind people.
Exactly.
And that kind of behavior isn't hard to program into a bot. And in a way, it certainly would make the bot tougher to play against. And it's not something that a person couldn't do, but it's not very fun. So certainly that's been a big focus, is to make them good opponents, but not make them good opponents in ways that are...
Right. Those are the comments I'm hearing about Cliff, even internally. It's like Cliff mentioned that nobody wants to play me anymore. It's like, well, look what you're doing. You're dancing on their heads.
Yeah, Cliff's gotten really good.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Well, we're all excited about it. And as we sit here talking, it's starting to trickle down into the stores, and some people have been direct shipped now. And there's about, last check, we had 53 players online. So it really is just released. It's really just drizzling out there. And I think people are going to be really pleased. Another neat thing about the game is I think once people get their hands on it and take a look at how much of it is open now with the mutators, and how much more the bots can do, the new game modes, and challenging people to put together good assault maps where balance is really important.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to seeing what people can do.
Yeah, the mutators is really something that has turned out to be a really powerful way of extending the game, and allows you to mix and match additions, so you don't have to play DM with Unreal Forever infiltration weapons only. You can now mix and match and play, have those weapons and these game rules and have Fat Man or whatever, Fat Boy, and all those things combined. And so that's really something that we're really happy with how it turned out. It actually started off, I originally put mutators in there because people were complaining about the bots with certain weapons being too hard or too easy with how they were handling certain weapons. So I decided I needed some easy way to replace all the weapons in a map so that I could test against the bots with just that weapon. And then as we were playing around with it, Jack and Brandon and I kept coming up with new ideas for how we could take advantage of that and make it really extensible. And so,
do you plan to increase what you can do with the mutator as far as digging into the game?
We've added some more hooks since the demo. For example, we've added a hook into the HUD so that now you can have a mutator that if you make it client-side, can actually change what's displayed on your HUD. It's a trade-off between making it... every time you make it more powerful, we want to make sure it doesn't tend to bog the game down. So we put a lot of hooks in there now. I think people will really be able to do a lot of different things with it. Certainly, we're interested in feedback on things that people would like to do, because we'll take a look at it and see if it makes sense in terms of what effect it would have on performance.
Yeah, one thing's really obvious is that you rely and place a lot of value on the feedback from the community. In fact, Jack was incorporated from the community, it's important that people get their feedback in, and any bugs that are found, obviously in something this complex, things are bound to creep up, so it's good to get them back and get them in here.
Well, this game, this game is really solid, and it's really been in a... Since last spring, it's been very solid and playable, so we really had a lot of time to tweak it and get bugs out. The problem is that we can test internally on 30 or 40 configurations.
Sure, out there there's thousands.
Yeah, and certainly having the demos out has helped us find some things and really allowed us to figure out what were the key things to address that weren't so obvious from our testing.
It's really a tremendous difference than when Unreal 1 was released, as far as the amount of time you were allowed to take with it and the level you were able to get Unreal Tournament 2 before you even got to a release. And it's genuinely a great looking game. We've seen it played here on a number of different machines. It looks great on that big TV, by the way. Incredible.
Yes.
So now that you're on vacation, only 10 hours a week, ten hours a day, what's next for you?
Well, we don't know what our next game is yet.
Okay.
We're debating that. So that's one of the things we're doing is debating things. Right now, what I've been working on recently, I made some improvements before we shipped to server performance to allow it to use less CPU. I've been continuing to work on that. I think before we shipped, I think I had about half the CPU utilization just by really going through and very carefully looking at, at a very low level everything the server was doing. And trying to, I was getting closer to the fine line. Tim had done, basically, Tim's the guy who did the networking architecture, and then I'm the one who sort of implemented it for Unreal and Unreal Tournament for that specific game. So what I've been doing here is kind of going through. And without trying to make the architecture is very general and very powerful, but because of that, you have to go through and really fine-tune it to make it, optimize it for a specific game. But you want to do that without locking yourself in. I mean, one of the nice things about this powerful architecture is that people can add new game types and very easily set up new networking requirements for their new game. So if they have new rules or new things that they want to have replicated across the network, that's very easy to do. So we want to keep that very, very general, but at the same time really go and fine-tune it. And so I've been continuing to do some more of that, so pretty soon hopefully we'll have a server patch that basically gets it as good as...
I was amazed when the 338 patch came out. I ran an Unreal server and an Unreal Tournament server, and it's amazing how much more efficient the Unreal Tournament 338 demo was than the Unreal server. I'm sitting there pumping out over T1 bandwidth on my line at home and on the Unreal server.
Yeah.
And it just does so much great client-side replication or prediction, I guess, is what you're doing there. And it's flawless from a player standpoint. I mean, you can really whip around, and you're taking a look at your outgoing bandwidth, and it's much less than Unreal.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on bandwidth. And actually, since the demos, we made a little bit of improvement on bandwidth, but that's getting pretty close to as low as things we can go. I mean, I've gone through just pages and pages of output and looked at what's being replicated.
I'm noticing where it used to be I was running into problems, the limiting factor was the bandwidth. Now it's the CPU usage.
Right, and so we're focusing, what I've been focusing on the last few weeks is the CPU. And I think I've got it about three times faster than it was for the dev 338 was the slowest. It's probably about five times faster than 338.
That's great.
So that should get it to the point where people could run it on a server and not even use most of the server CPU, so they can have other stuff going there too.
Like another server.
Yeah, you should be able to run several
That's
servers.
That's great. Well, we're all excited and can only imagine what you're going to come up with next. Fortunately, with as extensible as this game is, we'll have some time to play with this one. With Unreal generating over 1,500 deathmatch maps by itself, and now we have all the different game types and a much more extensible game, I can't even imagine to see the stuff I'm going to be sent over on Nolly City and Planet Unreal for Unreal Tournament. It's going to be wild over the first few months.
We really hope and we want to encourage people to make some cool modifications. And certainly we want to help the community develop cool add-ons for Unreal Tournament.
I'm sure it's going to happen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, Steve.